Riviera Radio. Business.
Howdy.
Good morning.
Did you manage to wean yourself away from American politics over the weekend?
I sort of got a bit distracted towards the end of it, to be honest with you. I thought the media outlets were sort of became so cautious, I guess, after the furore from Fox and Arizona, that they were so cautious around calling it. It almost became a farce, quite frankly.
I suppose so, but a lot of plaudits for CNN, as we were saying at the end of last week.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, no, they did very well, CNN, and we got through it, and the response and the vote was as expected. I suppose the founding fathers appreciated the need for a system of checks and balances to ensure no one branch of government would become too powerful, and so did investors last week. Markets managed to shake off the early election confusion and bid up both equities and government bonds. As we know, the US presidential election was tighter than many pollsters predicted. The blue wave failed to emerge. The balance of power in the US Senate will be determined by runoff elections in Georgia in January, though Republicans are expected to maintain control. Should investors welcome the gridlock? Maybe so. Bloomberg data suggests it's good for equity market returns. Average annual S&P performance with a divided government, the return is 12.5%. Blue wave 11.8%, red wave just 7.8%. So that split legislature could well be good.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if it's cut and dried about those two runoffs in Georgia. We'll have to wait until January to see what's going to happen. But of course, a president-elect Biden can always govern by decree if he wants to.
I think in one of the seats, wasn't it incredibly close to getting to that 50% mark, which would have not resulted in a runoff? So at least one of them, I suppose you could argue that there's a case to be made that would be relatively clear. But it will have an effect, as we've been saying, on the Biden administration's implementation of its domestic policy agenda. Aggressive tax hikes are likely to be tempered. The regulatory risk overhang in the technology sector is expected to ease. A tighter, more focused stimulus package could well be agreed. But you can still expect, I think, Joe Biden to push ahead with some of these broad policy objectives. That includes measures to invigorate the middle class, commitments to affordable healthcare, and the development of workers' rights. President-elect also is still expected to, I think, place greater emphasis on global policy areas such as climate change, international institutions, and the promotion of shared values.
Is it all over, do you think?
The route to the White House of President Trump through the courts appears to be incredibly limited. I've seen few, if any, commentators who believe that's realistic outside the Trump family, quite frankly.
But he's not going to concede, is he, by the looks of it, which is going to make the transition period quite difficult.
Could be quite an interesting one. Unencumbered president now, unlikely to face the electorate again, although he could run again in 4 years' time, although I think that would be seen as somewhat of a surprise. But yes, he has a significant amount of power at his disposal and very few checks on it, most of which, of course, can be undone by the new president if and when required.
I wouldn't bet against him running. I mean, Trumpism certainly isn't dead. I mean, there's more than 70 million votes for Donald Trump proved.
Yep, absolutely right. Listen, it was closer than was anticipated. Didn't quite pay off this time around. Can he come back in 4 years and run again? It's a big ask. Would he want to? That's also the question.
Probably. As I say, don't rule it out. Markets are a bit flat on Wall Street on Friday. They had big gains in Asia this morning, though, and oil prices have jumped and the dollars remain weak as well.
Yeah, but it was an incredible performance for equity markets last week. You should remember the four-day rally before Friday on the S&P 500 had $1.5 trillion to the value of stocks. The S&P 500 was up 7.3% over the course of the week. Technology, healthcare very much leading the way. NASDAQ was up 9.4%. Similar picture in Europe, actually. Stocks in Europe posting their best weekly gain since June. Stock 600 was up 7%. Money, as you say, continuing to flow out of the safe haven US dollar as those fears around a contested election have been reduced. Alongside that, the Fed promised, of course, prolonged ultra-accommodative policy as COVID cases rise. Dollar index was down 1.9% last week, in fact, registering its sharpest weekly decline since late March. Gold, as we know, moves inversely to the US dollar. Weaker dollar makes gold less expensive for foreign-denominated buyers. Gold hit a seven-week high on Friday. For the week, gold was up 3.5%, trading $1,950 an ounce.
Now, what does the Biden presidency mean for the UK in particular, vis-à-vis Brexit and the trade deal?
I don't think you can get into that. Listen, I suppose the idea was that President Trump was keen on doing a trade agreement with the UK. He likes disruption. He was a promoter of Brexit. He thought it was going to be good news for the UK economy, and America was going to come to the aid and do a trade agreement. How good that trade agreement would have been for the UK, given how vulnerable they were, remains perhaps a little bit more debatable, I suppose. Will Biden be able to push ahead with that? He'll be looking at it. They'll develop it. These things take an awful lot longer than perhaps the headlines would have suggested anyway. So will it have a meaningful effect on that? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. But I mean, the papers are full of it today, saying that Boris Johnson will have his style cramp because if he goes through with this internal markets bill and it affects the Good Friday agreements and peace in Northern Ireland, then Biden will be hopping mad.
Well, that's an element that Biden has focused on. In fact, one of his first trips apparently will be to Ireland, so it'll be interesting to see how that policy plays out in relation to that. But I think there's some big picture elements to come into play that slightly to slowly but surely develop into greater international cooperation under a Biden administration, and trade will be at the heart of that, one would suspect. So the movement away from the America First stance will be seen in general terms as, I guess, positive for global trade and for geopolitical tension.
Yeah, but the UK does need trade deals, and probably Boris Johnson was pinning his hopes on getting a rapid trade deal with the United States if Trump had won the election. But without him there, Biden's administration...
We've got Japan.
Yeah,
we've
okay.
got Japan. We've done a very, very,
GDP
done a very, very
years.
Important deal with Japan, so that's good. We're talking with Australia,
New Zealand.
New Zealand's going very well, so don't be so pessimistic.
Well, yeah, but this is a drop in the ocean. I mean, you know, the big ones are the EU, United States and China, aren't they?
Listen, there's no doubt about it. We've said it before that the European Union is and will continue to be the UK's largest trading partner. For us, economic pragmatism will eventually prevail, and the UK will get an agreement done. The size and shape of that, I think, is likely to be one that focuses on goods rather than services, but could be built on over time.
Okay, the non-farm payroll numbers were out on Friday, but barely raised a stir in Wall Street, so despite being pretty good.
Somewhat overshadowed by the US election, we watch the labour market figures closely because it directly filters through to private consumption levels, the primary driver of the US economy. The labour market recovery unexpectedly accelerated in the United States in October, and September gain was upwardly revised. In terms of the headline figures, US economy created 638,000 jobs, better than the market was looking for. Analysts were looking for a figure closer to 580,000. US unemployment rate fell to 6.9% from 7.9%, far bigger drop than was anticipated. What does that mean in terms of where the labour market's going to go over the course of next year? Recovery looks in good shape. We've got US unemployment rate at 6.5% at the end of this year, 5% at the end of 2021.
And the Richemont shares are down. Is that because you've sort of curbed your credit card spending recently? Or?
They're up, actually.
Oh,
not
sorry,
down.
Sorry.
But not due to my spending, it has to be said. World's second biggest luxury goods group, owner of brands including Cartier and Van Cleef, said they are benefiting from rising demand in China, will ramp up investment in the region. Headline number, second quarter sales fell 2% this after dropping 47% in its first quarter. First half sales in China, though, were up 83%. Now it's biggest market, overtaking the United States. Margins have been holding up nicely. They remain above 30%. Richemont said it would invest $550 million in a joint venture with the Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba to drive future growth in the region. Joint venture, well, Richemont bring, of course, the brand, the heritage, the product, Alibaba, the platform and the client base. Richemont shares up around about 8% on the back of that news.
Wasn't a very good week for Jack Ma last week, though, was it?
No, he had the Shanghai authorities decided to postpone at least the listing of his Ant Group, which is a payments firm. Well, it's the largest payment platform in China, and that resulted in a significant drop in his wealth. Did he lose $3 billion last week? It was a significant number, certainly.
Shanghai surprise.
Shanghai, you've had a few of those, haven't you, in your time?
Foreign exchanges, please.
Don't want to get into that now, do you? Pound against the dollar coming in at 131. Euro dollar just below 119. 1 euro, 10.5 cents for that British pound this morning.
Said he who announced proudly that all the off licences in the UK were open.
I tell you, the UK, apart from clothes shops and department stores, as far as I can tell, everything else is open.
We don't really have off-licensed over here. We have Nicola, which does that kind of thing, but they're not as prevalent as your offie in the UK is.
They're absolutely everywhere here. It's the only way the British public can get through a lockdown.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Speak to you tomorrow. Hank Potts and Barclays.